And church, to see Brother Joe come back in, that's my God. So thankful for Brother Joe, thankful for the few prayers that was offered up. And Brother Joe, we love you, buddy. You folks that are diabetics, you go ahead and eat you some breakfast now so your blood sugar stays up. Brother Joe, we're going to keep praying for you. It's good to be in the Lord's house, amen?
Amen.
I'm glad we've got a God that loves us and cares for us, and He knows us and knows our needs greater than we know them ourselves. We've got a God that knows us, and it's good to be here today on this homecoming service. I trust that God's going to bless you for being here and for your effort that you put forth to be here. We do have a good meal set down here, and I don't know if you brought anything or not. That's neither here nor there. But if God can take just a couple fish and a few pieces of hush puppies and feed tens of thousands of people, He'll feed you. There'll be something down there. So come and be with us today, even if you didn't bring anything. My wife brought enough stuff down here to feed two or three extra families. So you come on down there and be with us today and share a meal with us. We'd love to have you fellowship with us. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn in two places. We're going to read both passages of Scripture responsibly at one time. One of them be the book of Revelation. That's the book of the Revelation. It is singular, not revelations. God does not have an S on it. It's the singular unveiling of the person, Jesus Christ. And that'd be the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And then we're going to go over to Luke chapter number 14. So we'll pause for just a moment for that. It wasn't in the bulletin, but I would invite anybody that would like to come with me. On Tuesday evening, we'll be with Brother Steve Pope and the good folks down at Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove for their awesome August. It's my lot to preach on that this coming Tuesday evening for them, and I would desire your prayers. And like I said, if you'd like to be a part of that, you're more than welcome. I think the service starts at 7:30 down there as well, like ours does. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come down there. And if not, you certainly, if you would, pray for me, because I'll be standing to preach down there. And then don't forget our upcoming revival starting 1 week from tonight with Brother Jason Penley. You pray for him individually as a man, and then pray that God will touch his heart and give him the messages. If you found your place in Revelation 19, say amen.
Amen.
If you found your place in Luke 14, say amen. Pages are turning. Go ahead and stand, and we'll go ahead and read Revelation 19. The 19th book of the Revelation talks about something that I can only envision. I don't know how it'll be. I've seen a lot of paintings, and we even had one called The Invitation that sat over our kitchen table for the longest of times in our dining room, and it was like a burgundy matted frame that had a long banqueting table. And the banqueting table, you know, in the forefront of the picture was wide, and then it kind of went back as it went through the depth of the picture. And there were just a white linen tablecloth, and it had all the finery of that maybe like a king would have or something. It's a beautiful painting, but the painting is entitled The Invitation. And I know that Miss Haley and Brother Nathan had a wedding coming up, and I think you had one of the more recent RSVPs before, whatever the date was. What was your date? No, not the date of the wedding, honey. When you wanted people. Okay, if you were going to come to their wedding, you should have already let them know. Or if you're going to be there at the reception. Why would Miss Haley want to know prior to October that you were coming to her reception or to her wedding? What? To make sure what? That you've got a table set. To make sure that your place at the table has been prepared. You said, is that important? Well, you're going to find out here as the Lord lets me preach this message today that every single one of us through the pages of God's Word has been offered a grand invitation. And the invitation is simply this, come. There's a supper being set. Come. And I myself have got a reservation. I don't eat at a lot of places that require reservations, and sometimes even then that goes awry. We made reservations on Father's Day for my dad and all my brothers and our wives, and we had a reservation because we wanted to make sure that with 20 plus of us coming, we'd have a place to sit. And we've not been back to that place to eat since Father's Day. You said, well, I thought you had a reservation. We did. And the wait staff failed us miserably. The food wasn't ready. The staff was not prepared. And we didn't leave there till 3 o'clock. And that was because, and we had a 12:30 reservation. So you said, well, you didn't go back. I've not been back. You know, it's just poor service to me, especially when I've got a reservation. But I want to show you something today. There's a supper being set. And I promise you that you won't be disappointed. You will not leave hungry. You're not going to leave at all. As a matter of fact, we get to dine continually. As it were with Mephibosheth, when God fetched him out of the land of Lodabar, he fetched him out of there and he even said, why would you look on such a dead dog as I am? And one of these days, Brother John, maybe I'll preach that message again. Just go fetch the dog. But anyway, he fetched him out of the land of Lodabar, the land of no pasture, the land of no bread, and brought him up to the king's house. And he said, now you can eat bread at my table always. And I'm glad that Mephibosheth, being a son and a descendant of Saul, the son of Jonathan, I'm glad that he got an invitation to go see the king. But moreover, I'm glad, me being one of the Gentile dogs, that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself unto us, the world, he presented himself first to the Jew. And Brother Tam, they refused him. He came to his own, the Bible said, and they received him not. And then, bless God, the grand invitation of invitations. I'm talking about the one, Brother Kenny, that transcends time. It goes beyond anything that we could ever think. It reached way forward from the time that Jesus, our Savior, walked upon the earth, Brother Tam. He transcends that distance and time to the year of 2019, Brother Tam, to give us an invitation to come. Come. You know why? Because it's homecoming. That's what it's going to be, Brother Tam. It's going to be homecoming. When we get there, it'll be homecoming. Why? Because we'll finally be home. We'll read our scripture and then we'll just try to bring a short message today that it's almost supper time. You title it yourself, Brother John. How about this? It's almost time to eat. Some of you is already looking at your watch. Said, boy, you're right. It is almost time to eat. Brother Joe's already wishing that he did eat. Pray for us as we try to bring this message today. Revelation 19, verse number 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wow, what a powerful scripture that is. Go with me now to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. While you're finding your place in 14, do you have an invitation? You better believe you do. Every one of us do. Now, have you accepted it? That French word is a response. C'est vous plaît. You say, wow, you brought that. Yeah, that's the French for RSVP. Do you know what that simply means in English? Please respond. That's all. Response, s'il vous plaît. And I didn't even get any saliva on me. The French are that way. They speak in flowing words. But that just simply means, please respond. Brother Kim, about ready to just, old Tommy Dollar, you say, I'm about ready to get happy. That's all I'm asking you today. It's to please respond. When the invitation goes out, please respond. You said, I will respond. I'll write a big old no on there and I'll send that thing back and say, no, we're not coming, or no, we're not going to be there. That's all that Haley, that's all that any of us, that's whenever our daughters got married, we would kind of like to know how many people are going to be there. I mean, if we're fixing a banqueting table, we need to know how many place settings to make. If you want to eat, Brother Greg, give me the courtesy, the one that is setting the table, of a courtesy of a reply. That's all I'm asking. Say, no, I'm not coming, or yes, I'll be there. But my hope is and my prayer is that you will be there, because I would love to dine with you. I would. Brian Free and Assurance sings a song called Save Me a Seat at the Table. And I want to tell you something. Get out of here and go to your YouTube and search that one out. Just save me a seat at the table. His bass singer sings that. And I'm telling you what, it'll make a dried up Baptist shout. Luke chapter number 14. Verse number 15 said, And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he thou shalt eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Right there's where it started, men. She wouldn't let him. And that's been going on since Genesis. No, seriously. He's wanting to go. One's wanting to look at the land. One's wanting to prove his oxen. He's wanting to take sabbatical to be with his wife for a year. But there he is again. I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Brother Jody Phillips, ask God to bless our scripture reading today. Amen. Before you're putting your Bibles completely away and zipping them up and getting ready for the big banqueting meal that we will have at our homecoming, would you just listen to me for a minute? I mean, just for a few minutes, would you just listen? First off, I want to look at the man. The Bible said there was not just a man, but the Bible said there was a certain man. And whenever you see something that precedes a word, I believe it means to look at the word. He said not just a man, but he said there was a certain man. Bless God, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And there was a preparation, Brother Chris, by a certain person, God Almighty. He made that place a place of refuge for us that we will go. We'll ever be away from sin, Brother Tim. We'll never have to live in a sin-cursed world again when we depart from this place. We won't never have to worry about love being lost through the caskets of this life. Brother Tim, we'll never follow another casket to the front of a church. We'll never have to go and stand at the cemetery gate under some canopy and wonder where that person went in eternity, Brother Tim, because all that stuff's going to be swallowed up. The grave's going to be not even a memory. It's going to be a distant past. And Brother Greg, none of that stuff's really going to matter to us. But I want to look at first the man. It is God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Brother Scott, it is this son that gave his life on the cross of Calvary that we might then have the written invitation to come. And he put it through here. He said, the bride says, come. Everything in that book, Brother John, says, come. Everything in this scripture that we got right now is telling us to do it and to do it right quickly. You won't find in the Word of God where it tells us to do it in a distant time. It won't say, wait till you grow up, wait till you age out. No, rather he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He says, now is the day. He says, today is the day. Come now, let us reason together. The invitation is an age-old invitation. That, bless God, when I was a wee little boy, that invitation come out strong unto me. And at the age of 13, I accepted the invitation to go to that supper. And I don't know at what age you are. Some receive the invitation just a little bit later in life. Some of you, like Brother Chris, I was just a young, and I know you were still in single digits. You're about 7 years old, and others in here may have been that younger, maybe even a little bit elder. But nevertheless, you accepted the invitation. It was rolled down unto you, and that universal invitation, Brother Kenny, it didn't go out to the rich and the affluent of this life, Brother Tim. It didn't go out to princes and queens and kings. Bless God, it come out to us, the whosoever will. It come out to those that had nothing to give back. I'm telling you, a lot of times you would think that if I was going to set something, if I was going to set a big banqueting table, or I was going to do something, I know businesses do this. If they set a big banqueting table, who are they going to bid to come to their supper? Brother Tam, they're going to try to get something from the one that they set the table for. Why? The business, he gonna set, if it was Lowe's, you might have the CEO and maybe the CFO and maybe the finance officer and a bunch of them get together, and they then bring in the owners of DeWalt Tools or maybe Makita, or they bring in all these different vendors, and they've got them this big thing. What are they doing? They're jockeying for position. Why? They're inviting these people that they then might get something in return. Brother Tim, we didn't have nothing to give him. He said, you go get the lame. He said, you go get the maimed. He said, you go get the halt. He said, you get those that have nothing to offer me. And bless God, Brother Greg, that's what he got when he got most of us. He got something that did not have, somebody did not have anything to give in return. He said, but you tell them to come on because the supper's about ready. Bless God, Brother John, it's almost supper time. And one of these days, bless God, that invitation I have accepted, bless God, he gonna say, come on home, son. Your table has been set. The deal's done. The whole thing's fulfilled. My prophecy's been fulfilled. And he gonna do just like it said, Brother Kenny, out of Song of Solomon. He gonna say, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And when that happened, Brother Chris, we get to elbow up, bless God, right there at the banqueting table, and we get to be forever and ever and ever. And did I say ever, Brother Scott? How we get to be with him forever. You know why? Because of that man. The man Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. I can see inviting people that had something to give back. I know how that's how it works in commerce. That's how it works in the world. Brother Tam, if your startup business and you're brand new, who are you going to get? Brother Greg, you're going to get those that might benefit your company. They're going to get those that would help you. The new principal of a school, he might say, okay, we're going to have a job fair and we're going to have a meal, and I want every you prospective teachers to come. I want to see where you're from. I want to see what your specialty is. I want to see what you bring to the table. And then we'll determine if you got a place in our company or not. That's not what God did. He don't say, I'm going to see if you got something that you can give me. No, he just says, come, period. I'm glad that it's that way. So we saw in verse number 16, the man, the Bible said, a certain man, and he made a great supper, and he bade many. You said, what does that word bade? That word bade simply means invited. He invited many to come. The certain man is Jesus. And we move right beyond the man. And I want you to see, what's he got? He's got a great supper. That's why Revelation 19, 7 through 10 come to my mind. It's not just a man, but bless God, there's a meal. That meal is going to be spread, Brother Tim. And I don't know about you, but bless God, I've eaten some fine cuisine in my life. Cindy and I went out Friday night. I'm telling you what, it's probably more than I ever spend on a plate of food. Some of y'all, I know Brother Chris, he'll go drop $80 or $100 on one plate of food. I've never felt comfortable doing that. Brother Tim, you know what I give? With my drink, it was $15.95, and I thought, man, that's too much. That's just way too much. And I know some of you feel that way, and it is a lot of money, Brother Kenny. It's been $15.95 for one plate. But I want you to know, I had shrimp piled up about that deep, and I had steak, Brother Tam, and I had the broccoli, and I had it all, Brother Greg. I even tried oysters on the half shell or whatever them things were. I mean, they got it all, Brother Greg. You said, I ain't eating that. Brother, you might get into that. You might like that. But anyway, I'm telling you what, it was a meal, and I'm telling you what, it was all you care to eat. But you know what, Brother Tam, by the time you get down to that fluff and Oreos and you start eating that ice cream and you start getting into all that stuff, you start thinking, woe is me. That starts coming in. Woe is me. Because if I don't stop, there ain't going to be a judgment. And it's a long drive from there to where I was going. But anyway, everything's all right. You say, why are you bringing all that up? Brother Kenny, it ain't going to matter when we get there. Your heart's desire and your heart's content will be meted by him. The meal will be set. And brother, I don't know what your heart's desire is, but you're going to be able to eat it, and it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to tear you up. It's not going to give you what you got. It's not going to put weight on you. Bless God. Why, Brother John? Because a glorified body, it doesn't have the struggles that this old natural carnal flesh has got. And bless God, that meal, I promise you right now, it's going to be wonderful. It'll be great. But greater than that, Brother Tam, will be who you're eating with. Bless God, there's some people that, bless God, Brother Greg, when you're in a great big common area, you're hoping they don't come and sit at your table. I hope they don't come over here. My goodness, I'm going to have to get up and leave. But bless God, everything will be fine, Brother Tam. And I'm just telling you the truth, Brother Greg. Bless God, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there. And he said that he was going to gird himself, and he's going to be doing the serving. Man, we ought to be at his feet serving him. He's going to serve us. It's not just a man and a meal. But look what happened. And this is what I am in this passage of scripture today. I'm in verse number 17. I'm your messenger. Verse number 17 said, and he sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, everything's ready. So I am the messenger unto you today. I am the servant. I am the servant of the Most High God. And my message is this. Why don't you just come? I mean, bless God, the bride hath made herself ready. Bless God, Brother Greg, it's almost supper time. And bless God, we get to go there. So the message is going out through the messenger. Your pastor say, why don't you just come?
Amen, Pastor.
Why don't you just accept it? Why don't you just RSVP? Why don't you just get back in touch with him? Why don't you say, Lord, you have called me. You have bidden me. I have bidden to the supper. You have bade me to come, Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and give in. I fought this thing long enough. I know good and well I can't get there on my own right. I can't earn it. I can't merit it any other way. There's no way for me to achieve what you've got for me. Why don't you just RSVP? Please respond. Why don't you just come? That's all he's asking you to do. Verses number 18, 19, and 20. This part speaks so deeply in my heart today. And I hope that I can convey it to you. Because I went through the man. And I went through the message. I went through the meal. I told you about those three things. But I'm afraid that there's some going to be in here that's going to be among the missing. You said the missing is in those three verses, 18, 19, and 20. Brother Greg, what'd they do? The Bible said all they with one consent. What does that really mean? With one consent. They were in agreement. What were they doing, Miss Mary? They were making excuses. Now, let me tell you something. Brother Joe, I know you had that little thing a while ago where your sugar tanked out on you, and I hope you didn't mind me calling attention to you, but all this plays in. God knows what he's doing. Do you realize that in this whole thing, Brother Tam, that if Joe had to have left, it would have been a reason. Brother Joe, if you had to leave, you would have had a reason to leave. Why? Because you had a medical condition that would have necessitated you leaving the service. But you went out there and you got something. You got your sugar back up a little bit. But do you understand the difference in a reason and that of an excuse? I'm telling you what, reasons, those are beyond your control. Miss Martha and Brother Jerry are not sitting right back there where Brother Larry, where they usually sit right in there. Why? Because her brother is in the hospital, just got out of ICU. Brother Tam, she has a legitimate reason. Grant and Karen are not sitting right here today for a reason. Why? Because Brother Feldman is getting a few medical things taken care of today, and they have a valid reason. But the Bible said these missing people in 18, 19, and 20, that they had, Brother Greg, one thing in common. They come together, and they started making excuses. Now, I don't know what your excuse might be. I've done this or I've done that. I'm too old. I'm too young. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. Preacher, you see, I've got some things I want to do. Let me ask you like Brother Larry Key asked him in the prisons. Is what you're wanting to do worth going to hell for? Or what you've done in the past, is that worth going to hell for? Why don't you just come and quit making excuses and RSVP? Why don't you just respond? Please respond to the invitation that is given. Look in verse number 18, 19, and 20. The Bible said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. That's the earthly. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's the wealth. That's the thing that tends the earth that the other one bought. And the other one then said, I can't go because I have a family. I've got a wife. Let me tell you what. Your land means nothing to you if you don't have God. Your family means nothing to you if you don't have God. Bless God, you better get God first in your family. Then your wife will mean something to you. The yoke of oxen will plow the land that God hath prospered you to have. And bless God, everything will work for His good and His glory. You then take that yoke of oxen, you farm the land and love on your wife. He'll be fruitful. You'll multiply. You'll have a bunch of little hired help, a bunch of little children, child labor out there tending the corn, picking the green beans, bless God. And then you know what you can do with that? You can sell it in the sheep market pool. You can give your grain. You give of your sheep to the sheep market pool. You can barter and trade and buy. And then you know what else you can do, brother? Bless God, you can take one of them little lambs up there in your flock, brother Tim, and you bring that thing in and you can love on it. And bless God, then at that time of the annual sacrifice, you can take that little lamb and you can present it back to God that made it all possible. But they said, we ain't going to do that. The missing. Are you among the missing? The table's going to be filled. Don't have a mistake. There's not going to be, I'm sitting here in 5 empty chairs and there sits Brother Greg. It ain't going to be that way. It wouldn't be hell. It wouldn't be heaven. Brother Greg, if the loved ones that sat beside of us should have been beside us, but they died and went to hell. Brother Tim, that can't be that way. That wouldn't be heaven. No, the table will be full. It'll be right. It'll be proper. But Brother Tim, by the word of God, there's going to be some that won't be there. I promise you that, because they're going to stand before Him at the judgment. They're going to say, have I not done this? And have I not done that? And what's He going to say, Brother John? He's going to say, depart from me. You didn't receive the invitation. We move beyond the man, the meal, the messenger, the missing. Look at verse number 21. There's a word in there in verse number 21. Said the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And what's the next word there? The what? The master. The master of the house. There's a reason whenever the awl would be taken against the doorpost, and they would take that slave and pierce his earlobe, Brother Jody. There's a reason that they would let him go. There's a reason, biblical accounting, why they would let that slave go. I remember a message by Brother Alan Barker about that. And he preached those scriptures. And Brother Chris, it's in there. Whenever that slave was free to go and free to leave, what did he do? He chose to stay. And what did he say, Brother Chris? I know you know this.
I love my master.
He said, I love my master. What did he say, Brother John? He said, I love my master. He said, but you're free to go. You can go do what you want to do. He said, I know that I'm free to go do. But, Baskin, I don't want to get into sin. I don't want to get into the things I used to. Brother Jody, that's the same thing you said. I don't want to go do that stuff anymore. Bless God, why don't you want to go get drunk? Why don't you want to go do drugs? Why don't you want to curse and swear and be mean to people? Why don't you want to do those things? Brother Jody, it's one thing down deep in your heart. It's because I love my master. This master was a little bit tort. You said Jesus Christ, the Savior, the master of the house, he shouldn't be getting mad. The Bible said when God looked out on mankind that it repented him that he had ever made mankind, because the man's only had evil thoughts continually. Brother, you don't think that Christ got a little irate? The word is wrath. When he walks in and he takes the tables of the money changers, he flips those over and takes that whip. He drives them out of his temple. You don't think he showed just a little bit of anger? You said, well, the Bible said we shouldn't get angry. It doesn't say that at all. You show me that in there. Read on, my friends. It says to be angry and sin not. He didn't sin. But the Bible said the master of the house, being angry, said to the servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lane. Brother Tim, can you imagine Jesus Christ coming to his own? And his own refusing him and didn't receive him. He said, I'll fix that. You go get those Gentiles. Bless God, that ushered in an age of something that we refer to, Brother Jody, as grace. Aren't you glad for grace? My goodness, folks, I am so thankful for grace. I'm thankful for grace, Brother Greg, because I'm not a Jew. If I was Jewish, I can't say that I would have or would not have accepted him. But Brother Greg, at the time, they wholesale, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they rejected him and said, no, you're not the Christ. You are not the one. Yeah, you fit some of the prophecy. Yeah, you fit the bill in some areas. Thou art a teacher come from God. We perceive that. But I'm glad that there's some like Joseph, and there's some like Nicodemus, and there's some like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I'm glad that there were some that said, who art thou? And whom do men say that I am? And I'm glad there were some that would say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. Amen. But the Holy Spirit of God showed you what that was all about. Amen. I'm glad there were some Jews that received him. There's still some today, the Messianic Jews, they receive him. But there's those of the Orthodox who are still looking for their Messiah. Brother Kenny, they'll never get one. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Not only were there the missing, we see the picture of the Master saying, go get those that have nothing to give me. And then I'm going over to 22 through 24. We're going to close this thing out here very shortly. With the last thing that I want to show you. I just give this stuff to y'all as y'all, God gives it to me. What is grace? Throw it out there really quick. What's grace? The unmerited favor. God giving Greg what Greg didn't even deserve. God giving Timmy Anderson. Little Timmy Anderson, mean as a rattlesnake, striped rattlesnake. Probably deserved every whipping you got and 10 more just like it. The things you did to your brothers. It's a wonder any of them still speak to you. And the things they did to you. You said, how do you know that? Because I got four brothers just like you. Ryan, a thousand wonders that you and Robbie ever come up here to hear me preach. Mean as I was to you, the things we did to each other, it's a thousand wonders we even speak to one another. Brother Kenny, y'all get in there and scrap it out. Y'all don't listen to Ryan. He's delusional. Think about all the mess y'all got into. Did your daddy, did Mr. Anderson, what was your daddy's name? George Anderson, did he quit loving y'all? Why? Because you were his son. Is there a message in that or what? You say, where are you going, preacher? I'm going to the back of that. What's the opposite or the counter? If every coin were to have two sides and you had grace on one side, what's that other side? It would have to be coupled with mercy. Okay, preacher, what's mercy? It's what we find in these next couple verses here, 22 through 24. You say, but what is mercy defined? If grace is us getting what we didn't deserve, then mercy would be him what? Withholding from us that we did deserve. I told you deserved every one of those whoopings and 10 more just like them. Tim, I was being honest because I deserved every one I got and more. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell with every infirmity that I'd ever had. I quit counting kidney stones over the years. Probably had 20, 30 of them things. But Brother Tam, I'd still be in a devil's hell with every kidney stone, every hernia, everything I've ever had, Brother Greg, compiled and more. But the greatest thing that would make hell the most horrendous, most terrible thing, Brother John, would be the absence of the presence of God. 22:24 says these words. The servant said, and this is L-O-R-D with a capital L. That shows you that the master that was mentioned over here in verse number 21 is the master of the vineyard, the master of the table, the master of the house. The servant said, Lord, it is done that thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Can I tell you this morning, my friends, there is room. You said, preacher, I didn't bring anything to this homecoming today. Did you bring anything, brother? You did? I'm going to find somebody that didn't. Jan, did you bring anything? Ken, did you bring it? Miss Seth, did you bring anything? Brother Joe, did you bring anything? Okay, there we go. Are you going to come down and eat with us? Hopefully. Guess what, Brother Joe? There is room. There is room. Did you hear me? There's room. There's room. What did you bring to the table of grace, Brother Tim? What did you bring to his banqueting table? What did you have to offer? The only thing I had to give, Brother John, was the sin in my life that made it necessary for him to even go to the cross of Christ, the cross of Calvary, and give his life a ransom for me. That's the only thing I had to give was sin. But yet he says, come.
Amen.
He said, there is room.
Yes, sir.
Read that with me. It's in the 24th verse. It says, the 22nd verse, in the very back end of that. He said, Lord, we've done what you've commanded, and yet there is room. My friends, there's room for you. There's room for you at the table. There's room for you at the banqueting seat. The white is the linen of the grace and the righteousness that we will be adorned in is not ours, because ours is nasty. It's putrefying, full of nastiness, but we'll be clothed in his righteousness. The fine linen of the saints. Miss Macy's going to come over. God woke me up this morning and I got up. I didn't know anybody that sang the song. And I mentioned it to Cindy. She said, I don't know it. And I said, well, I want a song sung. She said, well, honey, on this short notice, I don't know who's going to do it except that you would ask Macy if she will learn it. It's like 10 after 9. And I said, well, see if she'll do it. Cindy texted Macy and said, will you learn a song for your daddy? He needs it for the invitation today. And she's at the piano. I want you to stand to your feet today. But I want you to do something just a little bit different today. I want you to close your eyes during the invitational. And I want you to picture in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own conscience. You said you're going to get into my conscience. The Bible talks about the conscience of man, does it not, Brother Kenny? Because in the latter day, their conscience will be seared as with a hot iron, where he doesn't prick their hearts anymore. Their conscience is not affected by the scripture. I can preach my heart out. I can preach and preach, and I can say, respond, respond, please respond. Responds as he will play. Come, come, come. Just accept the invitation. Brother Kenny, they just don't respond. I want to prick your conscience today. I want the Holy Spirit to get inside there. The word is convict. If you're not convicted, you're not converted. You get a load of that? Did you hear me? If you're not convicted, you're not converted. He comes to those of a broken spirit and a contrite heart is where he works in the heart of man. Close your eyes and let the words of this song, especially the second, the third verses, speak to your heart today. If you need to come, you come.
Many years ago, in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, son, come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home.
Supper
time.
The Spirit. with me? Are you going to be there?
In visions now I see her
folks,
standing yonder.
You can look up. I told you about your head, but you're going to be there.
And
I'm not going to go back through there and ask every one of you. Are you going to be there? You know.
I hear once
you know,
more.
Preacher Kenny. You know if you're saved or not. Do you believe a man's going to wake up one day after a massive heart attack and say, how in the world did I get to this place? How did I get in this land of splendor? How did I get here on this street of gold?
It's
how did I get here, Brother Tammy, the presence
upon
of Almighty God? How did I get here? No,
strength.
He'll know how he got there because he got there by the blood of the Lamb. You
come
got there by
home,
the way of the cross. You got there by Jesus Christ. Why? Because when the invitation to come was sent out, you responded, Son. You said, hey, the bride has come. To come. Some have come, some have prayed, don't know what to pray about. That's between them and the Lord.
Now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in heaven. It's supper time upon the golden strand. Come
sing it with
home,
her if you know it.
Come home. It's supper time. The